Hey guys, before we get started, you know the usual business. Follow us on social media, hit like and subscribe, reach out to us, comment on our videos, share them with your friends. You know what to do. You've done it. A lot of you have already done it, but if you're a new listener, you should go do it right now. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm not calling it X today, even though that's what it's called now, at Launchpad Pod, and on our website, launchpadpod.com, and on YouTube. Check us out. We make funny faces, and we're handsome. Most of the time.
I'm very handsome.
Yeah, Matt's rocking it today. I just got off a 13-hour day of work, but I still got in here to podcast because I didn't want to wait any longer before we talked about this movie that we're going to talk about today.
We're recording this really late because Rumi's work went late, so he kept texting me, hey, give me a little bit. Hey, sorry, let's push a little bit. Hey, and I had this idea that I would steal one of Amanda's sleep masks and wear it and pretend, like, start the episode sleeping and you'd have to wake me up. But Amanda really went to bed, so I didn't. So can't do that little joke.
That's a good joke. You, I know you are good at making anything out of cutout paper and tape. You could have done the joke.
That's true.
Remember when we made entire Grizzly Adams costumes out of paper?
Oh, yeah. The first time Amanda ever left me alone with Kent, it was in the hospital. She was like, finally, we were there for a couple days, there for 2 days. And she finally felt well enough to like go down the hall to get something from the vending machine or whatever. And she left. And I had a notepad and I drew all these different costumes for Kent. I put like muscly tattooed arms, cargo shorts out of paper, a hat, all this stuff, and laid it on him, his little like 27-hour old ass, so that when she came in, he had a costume change. She didn't think it was as funny as I did, but
that's hysterical. But we're not talking about little 27-year-old asses.
27 days. Oh. Yeah, hours. Yeah, I know, hours. Yeah. Man, what did I say? Can you edit that? Edit that out.
No, none of it's making it better. It's making worse. It's making it worse. Anyway, we're talking about something much better. Way better movie.
Well, a more fun movie.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Let's get into it on the Launchpad Podcast.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All right, welcome to Launchpad Podcast. I'm Aaron.
I'm Matt.
Matt, it's not very often that I'm so excited to talk about a movie with you that after I see the movie, I call you up and make you answer the phone. But I also am willing to work a 13-hour day and then immediately hop on the podcast just so we can talk about it. I'm so pumped to talk about this movie.
When this movie ended, it was after 1:30. When I saw it, it was after 1:30 a.m. your time. Otherwise, you would have gotten a call too because, oh man.
So I wasn't planning on seeing this movie this last Friday. I wasn't. You texted me that morning and you're like, did you see it yet? I was like, no, it came out on my birthday, but you know, I'm not taking my 3-year-old to see it. So I didn't see it. And you're like, you have to, I don't care what you do. You make sure you go see this movie ASAP. And I was like, you know what? That's good enough for me. Hey, Tommy, my coworker, we're going to go see a movie tonight. He's like, hell yeah. What are we going to go see? You want to see this much better movie? You want to go see this much finer crafted film, or do you want to? And I was like, no, none of those. I want to see Godzilla X Kong.
New Empire.
If you're on the YouTube, you see me drool when I say that.
It was perfectly sorry not fine. To.
It was perfectly
first
fine.
Of all, with a title that not only is relevant to the context and plot of the film, it rolls off the tongue.
The new
and of course
Empire.
Godzilla X Kong, that makes a ton of sense.
Because it's not X... he's not divided. He's not,
oh,
he's not subtracted from.
You said it. It's a Godzilla multiply Kong. It's what you said at the top of the show. It's Godzilla Twitter Kong is what it used to be called.
Godzilla X Kong. Yeah, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. And I love that the new empire isn't like the most generic metal band font ever. Like if you go searching for free fonts online and mm-hmm. they're like not the Iron Maiden font, but the Iron Metal Lady font. And you're like, I get it, font. Thanks. Yeah, it's such an Iron Maiden ripoff font, which is hilarious because it's like, yeah, you know, for all the Mountain Dew drinking metal fans out there, this movie's for you. It really is like this movie came out well past its time, where it was like back in the early 2000s when everything was extreme.
Oh, that's yeah.
What this is dialed up Godzilla King Kong. Inject that Mountain Dew right into your eyeballs and get ready. Strap in. You're going on a ride, baby. This movie did not come to play, did not fuck around.
I can't tell you what it came to play. I can't tell you what it came to do without having humans from the film explain to me what it was going to do, because I've never seen such a convoluted mess that literally needs cast to look into the camera and explain what either just happened or is about to happen. Because I wouldn't have, you could have given me a million guesses. I wouldn't have guessed a single plot or subplot correctly.
And not only can they not do it without telling you, they got to show you in hieroglyphics on the wall. Mm-hmm. one of the dumbest plot devices you've ever seen in a movie, and you've seen it multiple times, where somebody's like, I don't know what's happening. Wait, I can read this ancient language. I'm the one person who can. Let mm-hmm. me read this hieroglyphics. And it's like carved pictograms in the wall showing you exactly what the plot of the movie is. And they're like, you got it? And you're like, okay, movie. I got it.
There's a scene in the middle. It's in the middle of the movie, and it kind of introduced the main antagonist. And it intercuts Kong meeting this evil monkey,
the Scar King,
kind of starting a fight. It intercuts cool scenes of that with these people in this temple. And one of the main human characters is explaining what's on the walls. And it goes on for so long that I leaned over to my friend Nick, who I was with, and I was like, how big is this fucking room? Like, because she just keeps talking. She's like, it's like chapters and chapters about what's happening and what has already happened and what's the prophecy and what's going to happen and what could have happened. Oh, my God.
Let me be clear. This is one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen in my life. But as the movie got dumber, the more fun I had. And now it's the most fun I've had at the movies all year.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. It's just big, loud, dumb, but fun. It's just a big, stupid kid. And it was like, I don't know that I like the movie ended. I was like, no notes. Many questions, no notes. That was perfect.
Yeah. Oh, it could have been way worse. Oh, you could have messed that up. There's multiple times where I'm like, uh-oh, movie, you about to mess this up? I was having a good time, but you could fuck this up right here, right? Nope. And it's like, nah, I'm going to land this perfect. Watch me land this perfectly. In fact, you're going to want to high five somebody when I land this so good. And you're like, damn it, movie, you did. I didn't want to like this movie. Again, I didn't want to go see it because coming off of Godzilla Minus One, Oscar winning Godzilla Minus One, one of my favorite Godzilla movies of all time, out of respect to that film, I didn't want this to be good. I didn't want this to try and overshadow the conversation of how good that last movie was. Don't worry, nowhere close to overshadowing.
There's no one's going to confuse those two movies.
Nope. And it did not start off strong for me. It immediately starts in the Hollow Earth, which was stupid to begin with. Just the Hollow Earth is stupid.
Hollow Earth is like a middle ground of Earth underneath the Earth that we know. So if you go in these little portal holes, you go down to this place where there's like kind of gravity in some spots and other spots it's reversed, but it's like a whole little fantasy land down below Earth, right?
Yep, yep.
Popular, and that's where King Kong lives.
Popular with Jules Verne and Nazis, so, you know. So Kong lives there, and it starts with Kong running through the Hollow Earth jungle, being chased by these fugly dogs. I don't even know what to call them. They're fugly, badly designed.
Yeah, like big
CGI
wolf monsters.
And I was like, man, these are not well-designed creatures. They're just not, what are they? They're ugly. They're not done right. I have problems. And he picks one up, holds it up over his head, and splits it like a fucking burrito, and it spills green goop all over him. And he looks right at the camera and goes, oh, man. Yeah.
There's a bunch of he's set a trap for these things. So you're supposed to understand that he's like hunting and using tools and shit. And you're like, fuck it, fine. I saw him using an axe last movie. So he could be driving a car made of Fred Flintstone shit. I'd be like, fine, man.
No, so, I didn't even like the traps. I was like, King Kong doesn't set traps.
I didn't like them, but I was like, okay, fine.
Again,
and then
this is the part of the movie I didn't like. This is the part where I'm like, ooh, movie, I'm not having
fun. Corner him at this edge of the like a cliff. Yep. And we find out it's really a, you know, 300 style trap, and he kills a bunch of them, but a couple of them make it through and they start advancing on him, and he picks up the body of one of them, and like Rumi says, holds it over his head, rips the thing in half, and all this green goo and intestines and shit fall all over him, and the other animals are like, oh shit, and they like beat feet out of there, and Kong essentially looks at the camera and goes, ugh, and he even takes one of his hands and flicks it towards the ground to get the viscera off of that hand. When that happened, I busted out laughing and was like, I see where you're going. I bought my ticket. My seatbelt is strapped. Let's fucking do this. Because at that point, I was like, he just looked right at us and said, ugh, Mondays. And I'm like, okay, man. I don't care where else is going. I'm here.
This movie is full of nonverbal one-liners. Like, you don't need subtitles to see when King Kong's like, I gotta get me one of these. Or like, I'm getting too old for this shit. Whoa. Like, all this shit. Like, you constantly, it's full of one-liners that are not verbally said, but shown through the eyes of a CGI ape. You
so
really
good.
Believe all that bullshit you just said? Like, it is full of that stuff. It is like a Fast and Furious movie with the amount of one-liners this monkey doesn't say, but infers through his body language. I early on, I'm like, boo, I'm out. And I was so like, oh, man, it just like it didn't even look good. I wasn't having fun with it. But him ripping it in half, I was like, okay, all right, fine. You gave me a little boost. I'm on the way. I'm intrigued by the ride now.
Mm.
We get a lot of expositions and bullshit. You know, Kong's tooth is hurting. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, whatever. Is this going to be part of the plot? Not really, but okay. We get up to Earth and Monarch, the G-force of our universe.
Yeah, Legacy's G-force.
Of the Legacy verse. They're tracking Godzilla and he's in Rome fucking shit up. There's a squid monster.
I think it's supposed to be the tarantula, but it also has a Cthulhu face.
Except it's a crab. It's like a water monster. He had a crab body and then tentacles. So I was like, is this like your Abira, you know, horror of the deep?
Yeah.
You know, is Matt going to play with this in the bathtub later? This thing's smashing up Rome. Godzilla comes in, walks through some bridges because Godzilla hates bridges.
Bridges in this movie.
Any
sure.
bridge you see, smashes through the bridges and then just fucks this monster up. And I'm like, okay, all right. Hey, I'm here. Okay. All right. I'm on board with this. Beats the shit out of this monster, does some atomic breath right into his face, and then curls up like a kitten inside the Colosseum.
But I was like, oh, okay, fine.
It cracked me up. So now I'm a little bit more on board. King Kong shows up at one of the Monarch bases with his ouchy tooth, and they're like, oh, we'll help you, big guy. And they like put him under with giant anesthesia, and then this like flying spaceship comes out of nowhere with this like horrendously on point doc like needle drop, and it's like, call me Dr. Love, like, call me Dr. Love. And here's where we get Dan Stevens hanging out the side, and he's like, well, I'm spitting
the guest in it. And they call him in the movie, he's a veterinarian supposedly, but he's dealing with Kong, and he knows everything about everything, just like every other character in this movie. He is dressed like Ace Ventura, and they call him that in the movie. I said that he is half Ace Ventura and half Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Because he literally is like hanging from this hovercraft thing while this Dr. Love rock and roll song is playing, and he is singing. He picks up like a big carabiner type hook and he's singing into it like it's the microphone. Then he clips it on. Then he like jump backward, repels all the way down to Kong. and extracts the infected tooth and puts in a new metal tooth, which means he had metal teeth for Kong on the ready, like just ready to go. And immediately I was like, I fucking hate this character. I hate everything about this sequence. I hate it. I hated it so much. I loved it. I loved it. At that point, I knew I'd be buying this on Blu-ray. And then I realized it was Dan Stevens, who I actually really like. I lost respect for him as an actor because I hated this role so much. But it was so fucking bad. It literally eclipsed itself on the meter and became fun. And I was like, what other stupid shit can you do? And he was like, bear with me. We've got an hour and 58 minutes of this. And just I'm going to get dumber.
Wait. Yeah, I am going. This is not the dumbest scene you're going to see me in. Also, King Kong's tooth. Is it perhaps a Chekhov's tooth? No, the like, tooth doesn't matter. No. There's nothing about this movie. He doesn't need to bite anything. Oh, this is going to come into the play later, right? No.
It comes into play later for a quick second for no real reason, and it makes no sense, and it doesn't.
Oh, it's when not Scar a payoff. King, like, laughs at him.
It's not a payoff at all. It's just, if anything, it's just one thing that makes more questions where it's like Tommy Wiseau room-esque of like, why did you choose? You chose to have the movie do this. Why did you do that?
It's literally because there must have been two or three writers in a room and they just went, okay, so King Kong's tooth hurt. He's got a toothache. I'm thinking toothache. And they're like, yeah, he replaces his tooth. He gets a new tooth. Yeah, but it's a metal tooth. I love that. What else can we give him? Let's give him a robot arm. Okay, it's in the movie. Hey, what else can we do? And it's just like, these guys are just spit firing every idea. It's the term is, and I've said this before, hat on a hat. This is a term in the industry when you don't need to put another hat on it. It already is a hat. It's a hat on a hat. That's when you're overcomplicating something and it's not making it better or worse. You're just making it confusing. This movie is hats on top of hats, on top of hats. It's that parable, that story you used to read as a kid about the man with all the hats on his head and the monkey.
Yes, I was just thinking that. Hat.
And it is, oh my gosh, something happened on the fifth floor. All the cops are showing up. Okay, our hotel's being swarmed by cops right now. This is fun.
Sweet.
All right.
Do you have to leave or are they involved?
I'll ask them if they've seen Godzilla X Kong.
See if the zombies do that zombie joke that we did from a couple episodes ago. So they're switching this tooth out, and the little deaf girl from the last movie is a little bit more grown up, and she's still signing, and she doesn't fit in. There's a scene where she doesn't fit in at school, and they decide, okay, we got to take Kong down below, right?
Yeah, we got to get him back home.
Because if Godzilla finds out he's on Earth, not Hollow Earth, but Full Earth. If he's on Full Earth, Godzilla's going to come fight him. So they've got to get him back down there. And they decide their research post down there got attacked we know it got attacked, but they have no footage and they have no communication. So they're going to go check it out.
Yeah. Oh, and this is like 5
and
seconds.
Everyone can come. Everybody can come. If you're a little deaf girl, you can come. If you're a fucking podcaster, this movie makes podcasters look so fucking annoying. And maybe we are. I mean, let us know. But it makes us look so fucking annoying. And she's like, okay, you could come. And Dan Stevens, you're a veterinarian and you've already performed your duty. Get on the ship. Anyone else want to come?
Hey, fat military guy, you want to get on the others? He's like, hell yeah, I'm flying the ship, mate.
Hey, I'm the only one that can drive until later on when someone else needs to drive because I've been eaten by a tree.
Great. Come on board. The podcast guy was in the last movie. He's the old... Again, all these characters, I don't know if you've been in another movie. I know the little deaf girl had, but was her mom in a previous film?
Yeah, but she had long hair last time.
Okay, well, I didn't recognize her. Was Dan Stevens in another one of these movies?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because everybody acts like they know who the fuck he is.
Oh, wait, maybe there was a Skarsgård in the last movie, but maybe that's the same character. I honestly don't know.
See, but it doesn't matter. This movie.
Correct. Like, it definitely does not matter.
It doesn't matter if you recognize these
literally
people or not.
Nothing in this movie matters.
I think if nobody knows who these people are, it doesn't matter. If I know who these people are, it doesn't fucking matter because the exposition to get them involved is stupid and doesn't matter. Hey, how are we going to get all these people on this stupid spaceship? It doesn't matter. Just get on board. Get in here. We're going to do Kong stuff. Get in here. They get in there. They go through the portal. Kong jumps through. They go through. Going through the portal is like suddenly fast forwarding to the final scene of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. Just, exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, going so fast. The colors flying through. Your hands are twitching and melting. Dan Stevens is having a great time because he's a wacky adventure dude. Podcast is about to throw up because he's a scaredy cat. They like literally show all their character traits in like one freak out session and then boom, spits them out the other side. We see some cool Kong birds or whatever, Hollow Earth birds. They find that their monarch base is all fucked. There's a giant red handprint. And they're like, did Kong do that? And they're like, no, he was with us. Couldn't possibly be Kong. What? And you're like, okay. Kong is looking around for what's happening. He goes into a deeper part of a rift in Hollow Earth. The people crew is like, we got to follow him. And they go and then they park there.
So they're now in like hollow earth, right? Yeah. Or hollow earth. They're one level below, like you're in hollow earth and Kong goes Inception. Down a hole.
Hollow section.
Yeah. Earthception.
Kong goes down a hole, still not at the magma part of earth, just a different hollow part of earth.
Just another like middle part.
The idiots, at some point he's going to run into a hobbit, right? The idiots, they bring their spaceship and instead of flying right up to the part they need to go to, they park it like a mile away. Like they're a sure. dad who doesn't want to pay for parking at the event.
It's 2 miles away.
It's like, guys, it's good exercise. We can just hike it. It's no big deal. Like, are you going to pay what? You're going to pay $80 for parking? Yeah. Come on. We can park. We can hike it. Like, come on. It's a good walk. A beautiful day out. It's like, Dad, I got a cooler. Well, you can carry it. And it's like, argh. So they're hiking through the jungle. Fat military guys like just riding their shit the whole time. Like, I'm in charge here. Oh, you better listen to me. He gets eaten.
Dan Stevens, the veterinarian, stops and goes, wait, I'm sensing that there's something bad ahead. This is not the right way to go. I can feel it. And you're like, oh, good. You could feel it. Good thing you're a fucking veterinarian. It's me and Dr. Doolittle. And then he goes, no, don't you smell like rotting meat? And he's like, we're going this way because I'm the army guy. Eaten by a carnivorous tree that looks like absolutely nothing. It's like one quick shot. We barely see what happens. The only reason I know it's a tree is because podcaster yells out,
he got eaten by a tree.
Otherwise, I was like, that blob ate him because you can't even see it.
He just got Sam Jackson'd in Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. At least you knew it was a shark then. This, you're like, there's some vague threat that I don't know what it was. And you're like, is there other things around to be afraid of? No? Okay, cool. Just keep walking then.
Yeah. Is it a Chekhov's tree? Is it going to come back later? Are there going to be more carnivorous trees? Is there going to be a whole sequence of carnivorous trees they have to escape? No. That's the only tree you're going to have. Goodbye to that character.
But now I have to say that this movie does a fun job of intercutting between Godzilla, Kong, and the people. So while this is going on, we keep checking in with Godzilla, and Godzilla is fighting different monsters and getting their power. And they
bridges. Don't forget the bridges.
Oh, yeah. Fucking up some bridges. Yep. He fucks up a bridge at one point that has graffiti of Godzilla and a pizza on it that Rumi saw.
Yeah.
But I looked. I don't know if any of you guys saw this, too. Right above that Godzilla pizza graffiti, there were the words punch, punch, punch. Jet Jaguar reference. I don't know if Jet Jaguar was also drawn there, but I saw the words punch before Godzilla fucked that bridge up. But you're wondering, why is he on a mission of fighting these monsters? Don't worry, they keep telling you he is absorbing all of this energy. He destroys a nuclear facility and absorbs the nuclear energy. He fights a couple monsters and fucking destroys them. And one monster, they specifically state that where that monster lives gets the most, I don't know,
sun.
Some sort of, oh yes, yeah,
sun
energy from the sun. And that's where that monster lives. So Godzilla eats that monster, destroys it up, and then lives in his house for a minute, Goldilocks style, and sucks on all her porridge, and he gains all of her power? Or his
what
power?
Is, what I think was that her. Creature's name? I called it Pink Manta.
Yeah.
It's just Pink Panda. What was it called? I don't know. Katana? I don't know. It was
a long Japanese, you know, Asian-style dragon.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like a very vicious fighter. Blah, blah, blah. It was a cool fight scene that lasted for a second. It was more of a tease than a fight, but it was cool. Godzilla goes into her little undersea iceberg burrow, turns pink, his spikes turn pink, and he's gaining all this energy. So we know, they keep telling us he's preparing for something, but we don't know what.
Oh, this is where I'm starting to get in, because I'm like, okay, cool monster fights, I'm down. You know, the people are finally doing some.
It's definitely Kong heavy though, right? For a movie that's billed with Godzilla first, Godzilla is definitely like,
he doesn't have a
the
huge
Jaws-esque character.
He doesn't have a huge, something about the bridges that makes me laugh is the consistency of Godzilla's size really falls apart when you think about the size of these waterways, because it'll show him like swimming through a waterway in France, right? Yes, a boat can go through there, but we've already shown that King Kong is much bigger than a boat. King Kong is way bigger than a submarine, but he's easily navigating through the channels of the Rhine, the Seine. I don't know. I'm pronouncing all these French rivers wrong. You know what?
You also are. You said King Kong instead of Godzilla. I don't want to nip.
Well,
it's 27 it's years, 27 hours. It's the same.
It's Godzilla swimming through all these channels, right? And in Rome, we see the same thing. I don't know how big or deep these channels are, but I've been to the LA River. A boat can go on it if it was full of water. Godzilla does not fit in these, but they easily show him navigating through and then fucking up every bridge along the way. So he's big enough to smash through a bridge, but not big enough to fill that channel like a chubby kid in the tub. So I'm just like, his size just goes all over the place, which is hilarious. Down in Hollow Earth 2, Inception, Hollow Earth 2, Crystal Boogaloo, King Kong comes into this misty world and he sees this giant shadow. And as it comes towards him, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then this adorable little baby Kong shows up. And I hate baby animals in movies.
You hate babies and kids in movies, period.
Period.
I think regardless of species.
But like Godzilla Jr. Manila is a massive mistake.
The original version, you mean? Like the doofy one, the special looking one?
Oh my God. He looks like a turd with the face on it. Like in any of his iterations, if you have the mini version of somebody, like even when he's super cute in Space Godzilla, it's like,
that's almost worse than the scary Manila that like haunts kids' dreams.
Oh, baby Godzilla sucks. Sorry. So when I saw in the trailer that there was going to be a baby Kong, I was like, I don't think that's going to work for me. And he shows up and I'm like, oof, movie, you don't have enough goodwill to pull off a baby Kong right now. You better choose your steps wisely, my friends. And they're like, I got you. He reaches down to like make peace with baby Kong and it immediately bites him on the finger and he kicks his ass.
So like it's like a thing that the little guy is like, he doesn't know if he should go close. He gets closer to Kong and it's supposed to be this touching moment. And then he attacks Kong's hand and Kong whacks him. And then out of nowhere, two other giant apes, grown-up apes that look like chimpanzees, start this baller fight. And it's Kong versus two grown-up apes and baby Kong, who is, I think his name is Suko or something.
He has a name?
He does have a name. I don't know that it's ever said in the movie, but he does have a name. I'm not going to dignify it by looking
it up. He's a little piece of shit, and he's being a dick, and he's trying to attack Kong. And at one point, Kong picks up baby Kong and uses his little body like nunchucks and just whoops some.
Yeah,
beats these other monkeys' asses, and I was just like,
"Did
apes.
Everyone
I'm
in
sorry,
your theater
apes.
Laugh?"
I howled. Everybody started cracking up. Kids and I like clapping, and I was like, "Oh shit, I'm in." Son of a bitch.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could not be in at that point.
I'm in. Not only was I so worried that you were gonna fuck this up with a baby Kong and make it be like cutesy daddy time, and you solved that, you rectified that right quick. They're like, don't worry, he's just gonna kick this little dude's ass.
Was that four laughs, or were you just trying to make a brutal fight? Because it's kind of both at once. To hit someone with a baby is, you know, or a child is essentially what he's doing. It's a giant baby, but it's still a baby. And it was like a pretty cool fight. And then he kind of gets on top of one ape and swings out of frame, and you hear a crunch, and that ape is no longer in the movie. Then there's another ape immediately that Kong fights, and that ape rolls off of a cliff, and Kong grabs his hand and pulls him up. And as he pulls him up, Kong, you know, it's showing that heroic Spider-Man thing of, yes, you are the bad guy. Yes, I am trying to stop you, but I'm not going to kill you. So Kong helps him up, and the monkey immediately attacks Kong, and Kong just fucking 300 boots him off the cliff. Baller.
And then he force marches, mm-hmm. Baby Kong, take me to your leader, you know? Hey, take me to where these guys came from. And this little shit monkey.
This hairy little golem keeps looking around, schmeagling. And you know, first of all, he's got kind of reddish hair. Never trust a ginger, right?
Yeah, hey, I'm not trusting a ginger at all. He's totally a redheaded stepchild, literally.
He literally is a redheaded stepchild.
This little fucking baby ape, he leads him into a trap to try and get him killed by another manta creature. Mm-hmm. Like snake fish thing, eel. It was great. And Kong beats its ass and eats it. And the little baby monkey's like, I'm hungry in my rumbly tummy. Nobody gives me any. And then you get like kind of a heartwarming moment where Kong's like, here you go, fucker. And tosses him a little.
You can have the asshole.
In fish, it's called a cloe.
I see someone knows their sushi. Get this Toro out of here. Bring me the asshole.
Your finest fish asshole. Jiro dreams of fish asshole. There's some sushi chef listening right now being like, just frowning. Yeah. No emotion, just frowning.
I like to think of like one day I'll be at a fancy sushi restaurant for some business meeting because I'm a big businessman, you know? And someone will be like, hey, let's try that puffer fish, the blowfish with the toxin. I heard that's like a delicacy and it's dangerous. And I'll be like, you guys want to eat something really fucked? Order the cloaca. Imagine, you know what? On the sushi menus, it says stuff like Toro, and then underneath it says tuna. I want it to say cloaca, and then underneath, fish asshole.
There's some. We're such fucking idiots. There's some. I don't even. Fish doctor, fish scientist. What's the term for that?
Fishologist.
A fishologist who's like, it is not their asshole. It is the fish's vagina. You guys are idiots. You don't even know.
But I do agree with you that eating it would not be choice. Rumi and I went to sushi once when we were living together, and I ordered uni, U-N-I, which was sea urchin.
Yeah.
And it did not look good at all.
Didn't smell
and
good
literally
either.
Like in a sitcom, as I went to pick it up, and I eat sushi a lot. Yeah. I'll try new things. I had never had that before, so I tried it. As I started to eat it, Rumi leaned over and said, you're going to eat that even though it looks like diarrhea? And even though I'm a grown-up who can make my own choices and I'm not easily swayed by other people, it was pretty hard not to let that question resonate as I put it in my mouth. I did not finish that piece for sure. Seriously, every time I see it, either the word or the picture, I immediately hear you say, are you going to eat that?
You're gonna eat that hot diarrhea.
So Kong and this little baby Kong are eating things, and we see the little baby Kong be like, okay, I'll be your friend now. I'll show you where like I came from, I guess.
Yeah. Back up on Earth, Godzilla's turning.
Which level of Earth? Top Earth.
Oh, top level.
Full Earth.
Full Earth. Up on Full Earth, King Kong's turned pink. Back in Hollow Earth, level 2. The humans have stumbled upon some like ancient ruins and they're like, mm-hmm. these are Mondo Chiwin designs. No, Iwi designs. And Iwi are the people who worshipped King Kong on Skull Island. And of course, this little girl is like the last of her people.
The last of her. Yep.
And they find some like carvings of Mothra. And I was like, ooh, Mothra in the movie? And they're like, you wait. Some bullshit.
Wait, this is important. The first thing in the thing that they find is a little button that a giant dragonfly lands on, and the little girl presses the button and all this water starts flowing. And we have like a 30-second sequence of water going through all these little aqueducts underneath their feet, and they're marveling. that these aqueducts and irrigation channels have predated all known water transportation on the planet. Okay, fine, great.
Yeah.
Later, when we get to the inside throne room with all the hieroglyphics, they do the same exact thing, but with blue water, and it's like a chocolate water fountain, like a chocolate fountain, and it goes blah, 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 and it bubbles all over, and it runs under. I was like, 40% of this movie is water running under the main character's feet.
It must be a metaphor for something.
No, because if there was something as complicated as a metaphor in this movie, someone in the movie would have explained it to us, because we got explained everything. There was times where I was like mildly insulted. I was like, dude, I know that's a boat. I got it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I'm fully on board at this point. I am. You can't get me off. You can't get me off. You are getting me off, but in the best way. You can't get me off off the boat, because I'm having a good time. I just watched King Kong kick some ass with another baby version's body. This is great. Mm-hmm. King Kong, so the humans go into this crystal world. They meet some of the more Iwis, and the Iwis don't talk. They talk telepathically. And the little deaf girl understands them, which again, another hat. Oh, how about another hat?
Why is that have to be a thing? It doesn't fucking matter. They didn't even have to find these people, but okay, fine. They find the people and they talk telepathically. Okay, fine. Great.
And then they're like, she's the one who's going to bring back Mothra. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Fucking fine.
But when they walk into this crystal chamber, they notice that there's three main big crystals poking up. And the three main crystals are the same rough geometric shape of the seismograph readings from the outpost. They also look just like Godzilla's spikes. They also look just like these doodles that the little girl has been making all movie. But every time someone else finds a new iteration of these three triangles, they flip the fuck out. So like the mom shows all these drawings to the podcaster, and the podcaster's like, yeah, those look just like this. And he shows her a picture, and they both look at what is essentially the same motherfucking picture. And she's like, tell me you see it too. And he's like, yeah. Like my buddy Nick is like, they're triangles. The whole movie, they keep being like, me and him kept leaning over and being like, if you look closely, you can see that those shapes are almost triangular, and it's the same thing. And they make this big reveal, like it's like the shape in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when the guy keeps making the mashed potato mounds and he does it outside. And then you see the
tower.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you see it and you get it. But like, they're like, the movie really made sure that you understood that those three triangles were thematic and work to pop up again. And they had characters pointing at it going, do you see what I see? Yes, we all fucking see the triangles, man. I get it. They're triangles. I get it.
The triangles.
This is my first time at the fucking movies.
The triangles don't matter. It didn't matter if they're triangles.
Oh, and also, yeah, that's the other thing, is it did not matter.
It could have been the same building from the cover of The Little Mermaid from the 1990s that was made out of dicks. It didn't fucking matter.
No, I want to hold up that cover and be like, Aaron, tell me you see what I see. And you'll be like,
I see.
Yeah,
of course I do.
You pull out a gay porn mag and you're like, yeah, look, you do see it.
You see it too. It must be trying to tell us something.
Oh, man.
So everything the humans say is unnecessary to the point that it's becoming hysterical.
It is. You can't not. Like, it was one of those movies. Like, everyone in the theater I was in was having fun. It was 8 o'clock showing on a Thursday. And like, we were all having fun, but I still had to cover my mouth almost physically to keep from Shitty Movie Sundaying it, because it was a target rich environment. You know what I mean? You could really rip that shit apart. It was so fucking funny.
It was so fucking funny. So we're at this point in this movie where every time somebody opens their mouth, just while they're putting on a hat, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. one more hat. Oh, another hat. And you're just like, okay.
I kept going, well, of course. They're like, she's the chosen one. Well, of course. The podcaster was like, well, the liquid metal will go into that water and create a chemical reaction that will reverse gravity. And I was like, I know. So this little girl, we're told this little girl is the chosen one for absolutely no reason.
Did you
she
notice the
changes
shirt
her clothes?
She was
you told me about the shirt.
Oh, God. Whoever picked her shirt should be fired and probably investigated. It was a shirt.
Or do a cover for Little Mermaid.
It was a shirt. It said Juice, J-U-I-C-E, in like graffiti letters. So it was all like stylized. And behind this red word Juice was like white goo. But the I in Juice was a fucking dick. I'm sorry. It just is.
Did it look like a dick or it was a dick?
A little bit of both. I swear to God, dude, I don't know how people aren't like on the internet being like,
do you think you just watch too much Saltburn so you just see dicks everywhere?
I'm texting it to you right now. See if it pops up on your phone. See if you can see this. This will be on our effing like zoom in on that. Click on that and zoom in. J-U-I-C.
I could get arrested for this. This is like,
come on.
I can see what you're, don't say come on when we're talking about this.
I don't know. I found it kind of inappropriate and offensive.
It does look dickish, but the good news is the emus or whatever they're called decide, no, you got to put on a gown because you got to go up to see Mothra. And yeah, she's like, okay, where is Mothra? They're like, see these 1,000 stairs that are about 4 inches deep? You got to climb all those. So she's got to climb this giant flat surface. She does it real quick. And I was like, oh man, I know it's not going to happen. There was a beautiful shot of just the stairs and she rises, like she climbs the stairs out of frame. And I just wanted a bunch of bones and blood to roll back down the staircase.
She gets to the top of the top of the pyramid and Mothra shows up. Fucking dope. Yep.
There's a lot of organic membrane ripping. So she opens up like this thing and Mothra's in there. Mothra's like, sweet. And the whole tribe of these people is like, thank God the chosen one came and got Mothra, because otherwise we'd have no Mothra, except 2 movies ago when Mothra was in the Monarch station because they found her or something.
Right. Good thing.
This is the second Mothra we've seen.
Good thing this little girl figured out what 3 pyramids meant.
Three triangles. Oh, you noticed the 3 triangles too, Remy? They thought they were being so fucking clever with triangles.
So we've skipped over a big part. Let's cut back and see what King Kong's up to. King Kong's down in the deep part of Middle Earth. Him and little monkey boy Kong have crossed over a bone bridge. Now they're in the molten lava part of Middle Earth. While the human beings are explaining, once upon a time, long, long ago, there was a Godzilla and he fought the Kong creatures.
It said Godzilla protected the Earth and the planet and the nature. Mm-hmm. And these race of giant monkeys, which we're supposed to think Kong is a part of, protected humanity. Yep. Like, okay, cool, cool.
All right.
And then they say,
And Godzilla trapped them down in this in Hollow Earth and they're trapped there.
Well,
and
one of the monkeys was the king monkey and he Scar wanted to king. Take over.
Yeah,
he wanted to take Scar over. King.
And
so Godzilla's like, no way. And they fought and they couldn't beat each other, but Godzilla trapped them below.
Trapped them below and somehow Scar King has a whip. Cool. Okay.
They say for eons now he's been trying to get back out. Even though Kong literally walked from Earth, from regular flat Earth or whatever it's called, all the way down. He walked down to Hollow Earth. And then he walked down into Middle Hollow Earth. So Scar King could have just...
No, because the rift opened when his trap did. The rift opened in the beginning of the movie. Mm. It doesn't make any sense, but...
Okay, let's say that happened. So baby Kong shows Big Kong, this is this place. And you can see that there are some mean-looking apes who have red paint on their face.
Bro, this is how you explain this part. This is the scene in Temple of Doom when Indiana Jones is about to leave with the stone and he turns around and hears the whipping and crying sounds and he crawls through a little hole and sees the slave labor of a bunch of
kids.
Yeah. These aren't children. It's a whole race of King Kongs of various ages. There's children. We see a bunch of Kong heads on spikes of other people of his race. And he's like, oh no. And literally just like in Temple of Doom, this guy falls down, this older ape falls down and starts getting beat by the bad ape who has red painted on him. Just like in freaking Temple of Doom. And he goes up to beat him one more time, and Kong, boom, stops him and kicks his ass with a rock. And everybody's like, yeah. And the chimpanzee, deformed chimpanzee from before, shows up, and he goes to tell Scar King, who's like laying on this dais in the dark, and his eyes are glowing blue, and he's got the whip wrapped around him. And at the end of the whip is this like crystal that's blue. And Scar King comes down, and everybody's like, oh, I'm so freaked out. And little Kong's like talking shit to him, and Scar King's about to beat him, and another ape steps in front and is like, no, no, he's just a baby, don't hit him. And Scar King's like, all right, all right, all right. Psych! 300 kicks this adult ape into lava, which might be baby Kong's parent, I don't know, because then he's like,
and now, depending on what trailer you've seen before this movie, because I, in my movie theater, they showed Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes or whatever that next planet ape. This is now the third shot of an ape falling to its demise that I've seen, because in that trailer there's an ape that falls to its death. So we saw Baby Kong's buddy, fighting buddy, get kicked to death. Now we see this old monkey get kicked to death, and there was one in the trailer. So I've now watched three monkeys get kicked off of something. And it's not even 9:30. So you get like the Scar King is eyeing Kong, and Kong's looking at him, and Scar King immediately notices the metal tooth, even though you can't see it. It's very like, it's not like the movie made a deal out of showing how noticeable it was. He points at the tooth, and Kong shows it to him, and the Scar King laughs at him, and he says, and when he did that, it showed all the other evil red-faced monkeys laughing too, and I leaned over to him, but I was like, that's a good one, boss. It's like all these thug monkeys.
Yep.
So then, obviously, there's a fight between Kong and Scar, and it's a pretty good fight. Scar, I don't know if it was shittily designed or awesome designed, but the Scar King is like a skinny, tall chimpanzee. And man, he got long ass arms. I want a toy of him so bad. The couple of toys that they have out do not look very good.
They
look terrible, and they don't look certainly worth the money.
Playmate's going to Playmate, man. They suck.
There's two stuffed versions of him that look pretty cool. But one of my favorite things was the over-exaggerated chimpanzee arms. And both of these things are like chibi dolls. So they have little ones.
Yeah.
The closest, I figured it out, the closest thing that exists as a doll or an action figure is the bad guy at the end of RoboCop who falls out of the building, right? It's that kind of arms. That's what I thought the second I saw Scar King. But they have a pretty good fight, and Kong is definitely bigger and stronger, but he's younger and skinnier and flipping all over and cartwheeling and everything. So they have this fight. What you don't know is that he has a secret weapon, which is this, it looks like a backbone whip wrapped around him, and he takes it out and he's whipping, and Kong immediately grabs the whip, but then Scar King pulls it back and it rips through his hand. What you don't know is that it's a secret weapon. And good thing we have a human in a temple in a different part of another part of Earth
explaining this to us.
They say that the Scar King was able to ensnare another Titan named
Ice Angerus.
I don't know
what his name is.
Shimo or Kimo or Akimbo, Chimbo. It doesn't matter.
It's an ice dragon.
It really does look like Angerus. It walks on all fours. It's a dragon. It's white and blue. Definitely has like cold vibes about it. And he like points to these monkeys, and they open up this giant stone gate, and this thing comes out, and it's in chains, and they're controlling it with the chains. And at the tip of his whip, Scarface has this little blue crystal. Now, this is not described explicitly in the wall, because the woman just goes, he uses Ice Angerus's pain to control him. And with that, it's just a remote control, I think. He points the ice dagger at the dragon, and the dragon goes, shh. And then he points the same little ice dagger at Kong. And then Ice Angerus shoots out an ice beam at Kong, and Kong has to jump over and dodge it. No idea what that little shard is. No idea how that controls it, but it's very important.
Is it magic? No. Is it a piece of him? Is it like a bone from him? No. Why does it cause him pain? No. But you told me that it does, so okay. And then you showed me that it did too, because every time he waves it around, Ice Angerus is like, no.
Yeah. It controls it with his pain. You're like,
yeah.
Okay.
And like, Ice Angerus is like reluctant. He's like, shoot him. And he's like, I don't wanna. Meh, waves his little
don't make me jiggle my whip at you.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. All right, we're here. This is all super exciting, super fun. I'm here for this. So Kong takes one of these hits from Ice Angus, gets shot with a blast, ruins his axe, freezes his hand. Kong's like, we got to get out of here. And little monkey buddy is like, follow me. And they kind of escape. So they're running through now middle hollow. One, two, three, six.
Level two.
Divided by four. X Kong minus Godzilla. Okay, so now they're on the third level. They're above the lava level, above the people, and they're trying to escape. And they're being chased by like a whole horde of the bad apes. And Kong's like, follow me. And they get to one of his traps. And we get to see, you know, some of these apes get tore up in one of his traps. And then Kong passes out. And little baby Kong's like, oh no, wait. And he's sad about it. And Kong's hand is all like messed up. Like he's getting frostbite like a motherfucker. And the people have Mothra now, and Godzilla's up above, and he's all pink and stomping some shit now. God, King Kong shows up at the Iwis, and he's like, where my hand? And he passes out.
Dan Stevens immediately goes, that's third degree frostbite. Fuck you, Dan Stevens. He swaggers over there.
And they're like, hey, should we put it in a cast? And he's like, where are we going to find all that plaster, mate? And he's like, I got something better. Cue some annoying needle drop as we see him fly in with a spaceship carrying a gigantic transformer.
Yeah, but don't
club.
they say something like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah, yes. Project Fistor. Fistor? What's Project Fistor? And then cuts a needle drop of the ship coming in with giant, yeah. It's like a power loader for his hand. It's just this giant red and black robot glove, which I had not seen the trailer going into this. So I literally knew nothing about it. I'd seen a couple of the toys. So I knew some of the things that existed. So I knew he had a robot glove, but like, fuck yeah, there's no way that's not going to be awesomely stupid. You know, I was like, that sounds stupid as fuck.
And Iron Man's onto his arm. It's like, just.
Yeah, Dan Stevens brings this hovercraft over, same one that he extracted the tooth with, and just drops this giant. Think about how big King Kong is in some of these shots, because he's definitely varying sizes throughout. But whatever size he is, this giant robot glove comes and then also, it can fly. It flies carefully down onto his frostbitten arm, goes around it. And just as I lean over to my friend Nick Wari and I'm about to say, yeah, but that's not going to help us frostbite. It injects him with anti-frostbite. Like, maybe it's just antifreeze, right? That would probably be it, right? Right, so it injects him so he feels better. And now he's got super robot glove. And I know what you guys are thinking. We've said the word Transformers a couple times. You guys are wondering, does the glove actually move every time he punches? Absolutely, it does. It's not just a regular glove. Every time he goes to punch, something moves on it. Spinning, moving, scalloping.
And then he gets up and they're like, he's either going to like it or he's going to rip it off with his teeth. And King Kong goes, oh, hell yeah. I got to get me one of these. Wah!
Jumps up in the air like at the end of Breakfast Club, punches up in the air. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like this movie doesn't get any awesome. It's just so loud and stupid.
Oh my God. And then just when you think it can't get any more baller, here comes Scar King riding Ice Angerus like a skateboard while a bunch of like bad apes show up and they're crashing through, fucking up some shit. And Dan Stevens and the Iwis go down underneath the pyramids and they're like, oh yeah, if we're going to spill this molten level, this metal in, it's going to reverse polarity. And when the podcaster
says this to everybody, he says, it's going to stop gravity. And when they touch each other, there'll be no gravity for a second, but then gravity will reverse and everything will come crashing down. Now, this guy is a podcaster.
He's figured this all out just by looking at it. He knows what's going on. He studied in science.
That was for sure one of those. He was like, well, it's molten liquid and a molten metal. And if you pour that into the water, it'll go across, cause a chemical reaction. He definitely said chemical reaction. It's going to cause a chemical reaction that's going to reverse the polarity of the gravity. And when he finished talking, I was like, of course. Yeah, I know.
And So, right? so the armies of the evil guys are showing up. They're knocking at the door. They're trying to get in. And Kong's like, BRB, God, I know what I'm going to do. He starts climbing up to one of the portals to go topside to regular level Earth. And the mom is like, oh, I know what he's doing. He's got to go up. It's our only hope. If he can get up there and he can convince Godzilla to come down, it might be only, but if he goes up there, it's going to be World War III. I know. God help us all. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Like, so what? Then who's in Godzilla goes to Rio de Janeiro, right?
No. He's in Egypt. Godzilla's in Egypt because he's like, I'm going to fuck up the pyramids. And like, why are you in Egypt? Is there some nuclear thing in Egypt that you can suck up like a milkshake? He's like, nah, dude, I'm here to smash these pyramids up. Why? Because it looked dope in CGI. Duh. Yeah. And you're like, all right. Yeah, right. You're right. It's going to be great. So then King Kong shows up and he's like, yo, Godzilla, I'm on your turf. What are you going to do about it? And Godzilla's like, I'm going to fuck you up and smash you. Yeah.
He's like, do you remember what happened in the last movie?
Yeah. It turns into a real bitchin' Godzilla Kong fight. Godzilla is whooping Kong's ass. Kong activates his metal transformer glove, gets a couple good uppercuts in. He's really laying it on there. Kong's kicking him through pyramids, great pyramids down, things that have stood the test of time, ancient alien technology, razzed to the ground, complete rubble.
Yeah, they're Roland Emmerich-ing the shit out of all of these, like... Rio de Janeiro gets fucked up too, but
that's later. That's the final fight.
There's a couple times in the fight though where King Kong tries to point to the portal, like he's trying to show Godzilla, whoa, buddy, I'm here. I want to show you something, but that's not really work.
So they're whooping his ass, and then Godzilla's about to do the finishing move on King Kong. He's about to just destroy him with his pink power blast, and all of a sudden, freaking Mothra shows up and is like, wait, listen, we all gotta be friends. And then it's the equivalent of the Predator handshake where Kong like is like, bro, and Godzilla's like, bro, and they like shake it out. Not really, not literally, but like, again, basically, right? They stand there, they come to an understanding. Kong looks at Godzilla. Godzilla's like, I'm down, son of a bitch, I'm in. And then we're back down in regular Middle Earth. The Ice Angerus, Scar King, and all the evil monkeys are just trashing the joint. And then who shows up? Oh, fuck. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Slow-mo Godzilla. Slow-mo Kong. Yeah, baby. We back. This is like in a WWF when the two guys who are villains now are teamed up and they're returning to the ring to finish this tag team match. They show up in slow-mo. Oh, my God. Here's Ice Angerus and Scar King. They leap midair. And just as the two pyramids.
To inexplicably, unless you're a podcaster, reverse / stop / polarized gravity. So now everyone's fighting in zero gravity.
Anti-gravity fight. High five every person around you. Get the fuck out of here. This is the best movie I've ever seen all year. Oscars. This is good. This deserves it. This scene alone. Holy shit. Anti-gravity fight. King Kong, Godzilla, Ice Anchor, Scar King, Baby Godzilla, the other ugly ape. I didn't know he was still alive. Mothra's here. Holy shit.
If you guys are not watching this on YouTube, this is definitely like one of the moments you should be, because Rumi is Rumiing as hard as he like ever has on this show right now. This is why I love Rumi, this exact mating ritual he's doing right now. He gets so excited.
Holy, I'm gonna choke to death. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a movie. At this point, I dare you not to be excited. I dare you to get off the ride. Nobody's leaving at this point.
You can't.
I just watch some of the greatest feats of human engineering flattened. Anti-gravity fight, ice turtles, pink Godzillas, Mothras. It is a baller fight scene. It goes on, you know, they talked about this anti-gravity for lasting for a brief second. It goes on for like 3 minutes of just like, I'm loving it. Gravity kicks back in. Everybody falls back to the ground. Fucks everybody up. Scar King sees his chance, starts scrambling up to the top with Ice Angris. I don't know how Ice Angris climbed up the top.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but he gets up there.
Anyway, Kong throws his axe. It misses. Godzilla's like, I'm following them. They go through the portal and end up in Rio de Janeiro. And it starts on the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Suddenly, everything starts freezing like it's the trailer from Ghostbusters, the Frozen Empire. Wait, New Empire, Frozen Kingdom, whatever. Anyway, there's some sort of crossover that I'd watch. The beach starts freezing. Everybody's freaking out. Ice Angris levels a giant ice beam, starts tearing down buildings. Godzilla shows up. King Kong shows up. Baby Kong shows up. Scar King's there. All out brawl in Rio de Janeiro. At one point, King Kong picks up Scar King, straight DDTs him, falls backwards, full
everybody
on body
roared drop. When that happened in my theater. Everyone was going crazy because it's just like, you can't give me any more of what I want than that shot, you know?
Yeah, full on WWE wrestling move. He might as well have done the people's elbow off the top of a building. Mothra. It's so cool, man. Everything's just going down.
It's essentially Kong versus Scar King and Ice Angris versus Godzilla. That's pretty much, once in a while, they'll double team somebody or back and forth, but that's kind of the two fights that we're going back and forth between.
The whip breaks and the crystal that controls Ice Angris is now up for grabs. And we get the, again, the Temple of Doom scene where everybody's scrambling for the antidote.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trying to grab this crystal and sometimes it's in Scar King's hands and he's using it against Godzilla. Sometimes it's in Kong's hand and he's trying to figure out what to do with it. There's a lot of like really brutal wrestling on the ground and Scar King does seem to have the upper hand. He's reaching for the ice crystal and then out of nowhere, out of the fog, who comes tumbling out of nowhere? It is Baby Kong with the axe. And this is when my theater went ape shit. They were like, oh, yeah, he's doing a barrel roll with an axe. Shoo, 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 shoo. Bam, down on that crystal. It goes off like an ice bomb. There's ice, snow everywhere. And with that, Ice Angris is like, oh, I'm free of my prison. I'm free of my chains. I am no longer a slave. I'm free. And Godzilla's like, yeah, bro, welcome to the party. And Ice Angris turns and he looks at Kong and he basically gives him a, you know what to do, cuz. And Kong holds up Scar King in his hands and he's like, get him. And Ice Angris blasts him full force in the face. And he turns into a giant apesicle and his eyes like, oh, man, fuck you, Kong. And what does Kong do, Rumi?
He picks up that statue and then slams it to the ground, starts beating it. And all these ice crystals, parts of Scar King start breaking all over the place, which I thought was a pretty cool and violent PG-13 ending. Right. Like, dude, you want to see him get his comeuppance, but you can't really show him fucking him up too bad.
It's so, a Jason Voorhees kill, man. Straight out of Jason X. Freeze the head in the CO2 bath and then bam, smash it on the table. He smashes the shit out of it.
It was awesome. I just realized for the last 5 minutes of this podcast, I haven't said anything because I was just watching and listening to your commentary. And I could do, like, that's our friendship. I just want to watch you get excited about Godzilla movies. There's few things that give me that warm of a feeling than to just watch you get so excited about reenacting and explaining a Godzilla fight.
It was so good. So then the movie's like, hell yeah, we kicked their ass. And it's like, holy shit, guys, we've been going on for way too long. We got to wrap this shit up. And it speeds through the last like 3 minutes of whatever it is. You know, Godzilla is like, peace out, bye. Kong and Baby Kong are like, we're friends now. And they ride Ice Angris back to the Temple of Doom. And we get this great shot where all the enslaved apes, they see Ice Angris show up and they're like, oh no, is Scar King back? And Godzilla shows up and then Baby Kong shows
King
up.
King Kong goes, shows up.
Ah! Oh, you're right. King Kong and Baby Kong show up and Baby Kong's like, ah! And he does the gorilla chest beat and that all the other gorillas are like, yay. And so you're like, King Kong is now has an army, which Godzilla should be worried about. But you
what know. Was Scar King doing with that army? Because they showed them moving rocks, but like, what were they deconstructing? Were they constructing? Yeah. At first, I thought they were taking rocks away from whatever Godzilla had done to imprison them. But that doesn't make sense because those three monkeys that fought King Kong somehow got out. When King Kong escaped, he got out. So like, what was he just like an arbitrary ruler? Is just like, move those rocks.
I want
move
rocks
them back over there.
Over there to over here. Oh, you put them all over here. Change my mind. I want them over here.
It's Thursday. Move them to the Thursday pile. Yeah, it made no sense.
None
like it's
whatsoever.
It was a cool set piece. It looked cool. Good place to have a fight. But like, wait, why were you doing that?
It seemed like a quarry. So I thought they were like mining for something. I think they were mining for these three stones. They had two of them, but they lost the third one. And if they put them all inside this cool skull thing, they glow.
Mm.
I think that's what they were trying to look for.
I like that. I think that's a good idea. And I think it's the same world for sure.
Three stripes on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was going on there. Doesn't matter. I was
it definitely doesn't matter.
And then the mom's like, oh, my daughter, you want to stay here? I'm so sad. And she's like, no, mom, dumbass. I'm coming back home with you. I have video games at home. These people don't have shit. Like, duh.
My toothbrush isn't here. I have literally no change of clothes. All I have is this dick shirt. I have a dick shirt and a ceremonial gown that's probably only for climbing this pyramid. They're not going to let me wear that day to day. Although I can't hear, I still play video games. I still want to hang out with my... she didn't have friends, so that doesn't matter. She's not going to miss her friends.
Yeah, and Mothra flies off and is like, Mothra. And we're like, cool, 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 cool.
Mothra's a cool character, but I never understood. Like, why didn't they make it a bat? Why didn't they make it a mantis? A moth?
It's sacred, man.
But is that like an animal that we as a society know to be sacred?
Not our society. We're dumb Americans.
I also like, I think this new Mothra, I don't like the design as much as the old Mothra. As goofy and stupid as the old Mothra looks, it at least looks like a good guy. This one looks like a bug, and it either looks like it has no personality or is slightly evil. Like it looks, you know, it's pointy and the curves are all kind of designed aesthetically, kind of evil. The hands are very spiky.
They don't want it to be soft in any way, shape, or form. This is the hard X extreme Mothra. I look
Godzilla
like a real
X
bug.
Kong X Mothra. Yeah,
exactly.
I just wish it had more of a face because the other one had a face. It was a big goofy Disney face, but I feel like you knew whose side it was on.
Yeah.
You know, this one feels a little bit, I was like, eh.
It's also just not as robust as the other. The other Mothra was, you know.
It's not a fucking pasta sauce.
It was girthy. With a fat round head. Good job, Mothra. Yeah, they fly off and then Kong and Baby Kong, they go off on their adventure, their buddies, and then we see Godzilla climb up to top Earth, and he climbs right back in the Colosseum, pats around for a little bit, makes some biscuits, and then circles around a few times and lies right down in the Colosseum, goes to sleep, and that's the end of the movie.
I do have one note. I wish it was more Godzilla. The Godzilla we got was real good. I wish Godzilla had a couple more really heroic moments in the last two, like, you know, the one long last fight, which is really kind of two fights. I wanted to see him kick more. Like, we had a couple moments where King Kong really hit someone and you were like, damn, I wanted that from Godzilla. And I feel like we had those quick little moments where he fought the other Titans throughout the film, but those were quick throwaway. They weren't really a fight. It was just a quick shot or a couple shots. I kind of wanted a little bit more of Godzilla because he was in the last movie. He was so badass. And every time you heard bomb, bum, 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 you were like, oh, fuck, either this city is in trouble or Kong is in trouble. And he whooped some ass in that movie. I kind of wanted a little bit more of that, more of him in this, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But not a complaint. Just if I could have more, maybe I would have had some more.
He's just not as
just
much
him.
A character. You know, Kong had so much emotion to give and deliver. He had a performance. You knew what he was thinking. Like I said, you could hear his one-liner. Oh, yeah, got to get me one of these.
And he literally did two of those Super Mario jump up
Wahoos!
With the glove.
He sure did, without ever hearing him say a word. here's my pitch for the next movie. I want there to be some sort of ray or serum or mind control, psychic child, remote control alien device that makes Kong and Godzilla's minds switch temporarily or at like inconvenient moments. So that I want a Godzilla Kong Freaky Friday. Okay.
Where they both urinate in the same fountain and it gets hit by lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See? Okay. I'd watch that.
So you get the Freaky Friday Godzilla Kong, and then you get to see Godzilla be like, what? What? You get to see his little Godzilla eyebrows be like, what? That would crack me up. And then Kong gets to go like eyes roll back in his head, full on beast mode, like no feelings, just rage, tearing things up. Nobody can get a hold of him. And like, we really get to see them switch roles, which I think would be a really fun gimmick. I think that'd be a really cool gimmick.
Yeah, I agree.
And then of course, more monsters, more monster fights. I love that there was like, but the problem is we have these other Titans and there's no stakes in those fights.
Do you think because they haven't been established? Is that why?
They haven't been established and they're just throwaways. Not that like they're usually that established in any of the other Godzilla movies, but the formula for most Godzilla movies is this monster shows up, Godzilla shows up to stop it, and they establish it. There's a lore to it. They build the lore for that monster and then we go. Mm-hmm. My big pitch to Legendary would be in the beginning, we flash back to the skull from the previous movie.
Temple of Doom.
Yes, the skull of King Ghidorah that was used to create the Mecha Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
We see that still has some sentient computer power and he begins to rebuild himself. And I want to get Mecha King Ghidorah into the next movie with Godzilla and Kong body swap and Freaky Friday shit. And then if you really love me, you'll throw in whatever their version of Jet Jaguar was.
Oh man, that would be, I mean, you put Jet Jaguar in any movie, including a rom-com, and I'm there. The funny thing is, like, this movie is so over, the real one that we just watched, is so overly complicated, needlessly so, almost to the point that they're geniuses and they did it on purpose to make us laugh. But, like, for this movie to work, you needed four things. King Kong, Godzilla, Scar King, Ice Angerus, period. And maybe Mothra. Let's throw Mothra in there. That's all you needed. If you just had those characters be like, oh no, Ice Angerus came out of the ground. Oh no, Godzilla fights him. I don't need to know that he was fucking enslaved by a whip and all this other bullshit. Nope, don't need it. Oh, there was a secret jungle island somewhere and there's a monkey on there called Scar King. You don't even have to tell me how he got a whip. Just fucking, he's got a whip. Cool. He's coming because Godzilla woke up the Titans. He has always been an ambitious Titan that wants to take over people. That could just be one wall in a room. You don't have to read the entire goddamn room.
You didn't have to take the entire trip down to third Middle Earth to find this fucker.
Yeah, we don't need any portals. You don't need any dental implants, monkey dental implants. That's unnecessary. You don't need, like, that's what every of those other movies was, right? Think of Megalon. Megalon came from beneath the earth, but like it was just like, okay, he came from beneath the earth. There's the guys that live down there. They're mad that we're up here and they're down there. They sent Megalon to attack us, period. Every once in a while, we see them chanting. We see them getting ready for their next stage of their invasion. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't need to go find them. There wasn't a whole thing about going to find them.
If you condensed all that, like you said, the reason they don't is they're because they're afraid. Because what would they have to do if they condense all that? Spend time with the human beings that they have no clue how to make them real characters.
Yeah, I think
they don't know
true.
What to do. They don't know how to make human connections. They might be written by robots. I don't know. But like, if you got rid of all that, you would have had to spend more time with the, you know, just like in the previous Godzilla movies that we've talked about, the cartoonist who doesn't know how to make a good monster.
Yep, cartoonist or a journalist.
Yep, or a little boy who's scared of his bullies. You'd have to spend more time with those people, and that threatens to tank your movie. Because can you imagine Godzilla Minus One if the kamikaze pilot who forsook his duty, is that even a word? Is that how you say that?
Not in Japanese, but yeah.
Can you imagine if they didn't have time to tell that story because they were too busy with him going to Monster Island, fighting off giant spiders, Kumanga showing up, baby Godzilla's there. Can you imagine if they just over-convoluted that movie with all that bullshit?
I was listening to what you said, but also when you mentioned that little boy in the little shorts, My pitch for the next movie.
I didn't mention Little Shorts. I think your mind went there.
We all know who you were talking about, though. I immediately thought he should grow up and be the villain of the next movie. He should be the evil conglomerate that makes the next. I mean, we can't do Mechagodzilla because we already did him, but he creates the something something that Mogira maybe or something, but something that is the antecedent to Godzilla in the next movie. Because then when I was bullied as a child, I pretended to be with Manila, but then he forsaken me, much like someone in another Godzilla universe did.
Oh my God.
What a great life. Like, honestly, it makes me happy. It tickles me inside to think that we live in a world and in a time where in the same 6 month period, we can have a literal Oscar winning Godzilla movie. And take, like, the Oscar is for the visuals, but, like, the movie was fantastic. It was a well-told story. It looked beautiful. It was paced well. It had great character development for Godzilla as well as the human character. You have this great Godzilla movie, and then you have this great, dumb, loud, stupid fucking piece of shit that is just a fucking train wreck of awesome. How great that the same franchise that's been around for 60 years and give us both in the same minute.
I have been on a huge Godzilla kick now. Like, after watching this movie, I'm watching Godzilla movies like every night. I watched Space Godzilla, which was not great. That movie is a mess. It ended up with a pretty strong Smash score because the third act was almost 20 minutes of fighting. But for the first hour, it was like Godzilla's not smashing anything. It's people on an island and really low budget Godzilla on a beach shots. Mm-hmm. Pretty bad. Baby Godzilla. Woof. He's super cute in this one, but he's not even as charming as the one that looks like a pile of molded shit.
Agreed. But he gets his ass kicked, which is fun.
Sure. But even that isn't that great. Like, Mogera, that thing sucks. Like, I don't know. It really made me, like, reconsider. Because I was like, Space Godzilla's cool. He's got those big shoulder pad diamonds. But, like, he's dripping ice, man. He's so slick. But it really doesn't get anywhere until the last act. And even that is, like, it's not the best shot. It seems like a really low-budget movie for the Heisei era.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Considering, like you said, maybe relative to the rest, maybe it was low-budget.
So it's like, after watching Godzilla X Kong, I realize it's like, this is what I want. Every now and then, if you want to give me Godzilla Minus One, I'm here for it. That's awesome. Thank you. Keep doing that. But for every one of those, if you can give me a big, giant kaiju WWE smash-a-thon, I'm here for it.
Do you think in an alternate universe where Space Godzilla is from, all of the movies are called Space Godzilla except the Space Godzilla one that's just called Godzilla? So, like, Space Godzilla versus Gigan, Space Godzilla versus Megalon, the Terra of Mecha Space Godzilla.
He's the hero in his own universe? Yeah. That's amazing. Space Godzilla X Kong. Space Kong. Yeah. No, because they're in space. It's in different. So it's Space Godzilla versus Space Hedorah.
Space Kong. Yes.
That's another one. Hey, you guys want to take a crack at Hedorah for today's age? I'd watch that.
That's an easy one to do because I think that's like, if you think about what that movie was like trying to do.
Yeah, he's a big
sludge
monster.
It actually, the story, the theme is still relevant, right? The message is still relevant today.
Yeah. Yes, very. Holy shit. Yeah, that would be really cool, man. I know this movie's not doing great and people are shitting all over it because none of them are wrong, but like,
I'm going to go see it again this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just, it's too fun not to. And I know people who haven't seen it yet. You know what I mean?
It's way too fun and it's way too hysterical. And like, yes, it's stupid. Yes, it's doing everything wrong, but it could have been a bad movie. And even for being just a train wreck, not a bad, it could have been way worse. It was a bad movie,
correct,
but it could have been way worse. And it is one of the most fun movies I've seen in a long time. And I just think people need to fucking get on board with that.
Well, it's like you said, it's not a good movie. It is bad. It's terrible, but it is enjoyable. And we know from Shitty Movie Sundays and watching those kind of movies, there is bad, bad, and there is good, bad. And this is like stellar bad. This is like, even Dan Stevens' character, who I fucking hated, I loved it because it was so fucking terrible. And like, that's how the dialogue is. That's how the storytelling is. That's how the plot development is. That's how the character. I don't even think they tried to have a character development. Maybe with the little girl. The little girl has kind of like an arc, kind of.
You're right. The mom has. Well, the mom's arc is like, oh, I want to provide for my daughter. Oh, in the last 3 minutes, I might have to let her go to like find herself. Oh, no, just kidding.
I don't count that because there was no struggle. If there was a struggle, if at the beginning in the movie, the girl was like, I want to look for my tribe. And the mom was like, no, I don't want you to do that. And then at the end, she's like, okay, you found your tribe. I understand you could go with them. That's the mom overcame something. But the mom was never struggling with that. The mom just loved the girl and wanted to be with the girl. So at the end, she, you know, loved her so much to let her free. I mean, I guess that's a step, but it's not a, that's not an odyssey. She didn't do anything.
No, there's no arc. No, yeah. Podcast didn't get an arc. Dan Stevens didn't get an arc. The little girl kind of got, I want to find my people. I feel lonely. Oh, found some people.
That's the closest, and that's not really an arc, but that's the closest thing to a character story.
No, none of these people had, and it's funny to say this because the guys who wrote this probably think that they did have an arc. There's no opposition. There's no, you know, the obstacles for them to overcome. And they're like, what do you mean they didn't have any obstacles? They had to like fight giant Kongs and ice angresses and freaking Scar Kings. But it's like, no. They had no emotional stakes in this, though. There was just like, oh, the world might be destroyed. No, but that's different. They had nothing that they personally had to change in themselves or face in themselves to overcome this obstacle. The obstacle of Kong or Godzilla or any of this didn't represent their struggle. There was nothing that they had to do to change to then be better or worse or different. There was no internal struggle. It was one line that they said and then one line to contradict that, the movie's over.
And I would say that that's probably not the only, let's say Godzilla, but I don't think that's the only Godzilla movie that's happened or not happened in. But it just, the people serve no purpose other than to structurally push the story along with script, with lines, with dialogue. That's the only reason they did any of the things that they did.
I read an article that was like, what's happening to the legendary MonsterVerse? And they're like, the first Gareth Edwards Godzilla from 2014 had like this emotional thing. And I was like, did it?
Yeah.
And they're like, the subsequent films have ignored this greatly, really just striving for spectacle and blockbuster set pieces. And I wanted to just literally put a noose around my neck and take a picture like that meme of Dave Franco or James Franco, one of the Franco bros, about to get hung in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And he looks right at the camera, goes, first time, huh? Is this your first Godzilla movie? Have you ever seen a subsequent Godzilla film? They all go for bombastic spectacle over emotional weight. The first Godzilla movie had a lot to say. The other 27, 28, how many are we at? 32?
30 something, right?
32 Godzilla movies. That one had something to say. Godzilla 1984. Had something to say. Some will argue Shin Godzilla. I will disagree. Godzilla 1984 is just trying to remake it. And when you do the single Godzilla by himself, I think it begs more allegory than
sure.
When it's like, I'm going to kick this Godzilla and this Kong's butt. I'm going to fight a giant crab in the bathtub. Right? I think when Godzilla is a singular outing, it begs more allegory. I know Shin was back to the gills with allegory. It was all dumb, but it was there.
I agree. Something I was thinking about revisiting the original Gareth Edwards one, because I do remember enjoying parts of that. As a whole, I think my overall take on that movie is that it's a little dry.
Yep.
But I do understand also, and this is pretty cool, that it's world building. I think the Showa era movies are my Godzilla. Like, that's the ones I grew up with. I know those inside and out. I know those kaiju the best.
Yeah.
But like, if you pick any one of those movies and then watch another one after it, doesn't matter what order you go, because they're all just their own individual movies.
Yep.
They could all happen in the same week. They could all happen years apart from each other. People in one movie don't know from the other movies or not. The Heisei era started to change that, where they had a lot of the same human characters going from one movie to the next. And there was an overall narrative where kind of what happened in the last movie mattered to what happened in this one, at least a little bit. I think the legacy and the monarch stuff is really interesting because it's starting to really world build, which I think even in the Heisei and the Millennium era, they didn't really do that. I think it's really cool that there are army services that are specifically monitoring where Godzilla is going. That there are, like, literally when Godzilla at the end of this movie, this one that we're talking about tonight, when he goes into the Colosseum, there were patrol cars, cop cars blocking the exits on the freeway where that was happening. And I think it's kind of cool. And I think Shin Godzilla started to do this and then only did this. So it was boring. But it was like, what is a world with Godzilla? And it's kind of like what Watchmen did for comic books. Like, okay, let's say there is a Superman. What does that change in the world? Not just what does he fight this dinosaur, but what does that change? How does that change Vietnam? And I feel like this movie's like, let's say that there are these walking natural disasters that just get up and do things sometimes. What? How would we respond as a civilization, as a human civilization? I thought that was pretty cool. And I think it is pretty cool to watch, you know, Gareth Edwards, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Skull Island. You're building and building and building. So all the Middle Earth stuff is stupid. But the fact that there's research posts to study these things and it kind of builds. I like that. I thought that's cool. I haven't seen the show yet. Have you seen the show?
Yeah, I watched the show.
I need to check it out now that I have it kind of in my blood because I've been watching it. And Kent and I have been doing a lot of the Showa era stuff and actually the Heisei era stuff. We just started doing some Heisei stuff together. It's kind of like I got my Kaiju Mojo back. So maybe I'll hit the Monarch show. But I like the idea of it. I think it's a cool idea.
Watch it and we can talk about it. But it definitely has a lot of like, okay, that's cool. But why?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's also like, hey, that's cool. But like, is this what I want a Kaiju Godzilla show to be? I don't know. And then I'm like, what would I want a Kaiju show to be? Like a Godzilla show, what do I want that to be? And it's like, I don't
Power
even know
Rangers
I, right exactly
yeah I
Ultraman.
Mean really that's what I because I'm a Showa era guy, right?
Yeah, I want Ultraman, I want Power Rangers, that's what I want it to be. I want to see Godzilla show up, fight a monster of the week, kick his ass, go back in the ocean, bye.
I Old love credits. The idea that they have me and you in on the development meeting of that, and they're trying to like sell us off of it. They're like, but listen, let's hear us out. I understand what you're saying. We're not going to have the budget to make the best costumes. Me and you would be like, that's okay. We're not worried about that. And they'd be like, no, but like what we're saying is you might even see the zipper sometimes. And we would say, but that's okay. We're not worried about that. And they'd say, well, the thing is, looking at these numbers, there would be times where we would reuse the exact same shots, explosions, or buildings crumpling from a previous episode. And we would say, I understand. You're not making this any less interesting for us. We are down with that exact show.
Can you afford cardboard boxes in the shape of buildings?
In a rough approximation of a human dwelling.
How much styrofoam can we carve into a mountainside?
Right.
How much duct tape can you provide me to make this set happen? Do you have any little trees to pepper this with? How about sparking fireworks? Can I attach 12 of those to a human being in a giant rubber suit? And like, yeah, then I have a show. I have a show that people will watch. I think people forgot how bad Power Rangers is or how bad the Ultraman series was.
Mm-hmm.
They were goofy as shit, man. But we tuned in every week. And I think even if somebody was like, man, this is cheesy, you're not turning it off.
Yeah. Although I guess also the counter argument that I would make to that is you and I grew up with Showa era Godzilla, and I was a little old for Power Rangers, but Power Rangers and the like, VR Troopers and all that
shit. Like,
yeah, for sure. But like that holds a special nostalgia place. I wonder if the people who are in their 20s right now would watch that. And I wonder if kids like your kid and my kid, well, your kid and my kid specifically are not the best examples because we're going to spoon feed them the shit we like.
Oh, but yeah, my kid loves the old school Godzilla.
But like, does their class with the, but I think an untouched kid, like a kid who has not yet been corrupted by shitty stuff, would be fucking all over puppets and Showa era and Labyrinth and Muppet Show. I think they'd love all that shit because kids intrinsically, I think, like that shit, right?
I mean, it's super engaging. Also, I think you could gauge them if instead of doing it in like 16:9, it was in 9:16 and only 3 minutes long, max.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You're like, I'm here for this.
Oh, man. I'm showing Kent Monster Squad soon. And I talked it up over the weekend. And then I was like, I got to check with mom and make sure that that's okay to show you first. And I'm trying to think, because he's pretty cool. He doesn't get scared. scared about shit. And then I was like, I think we could do this one. And Amanda gave it the okay.
Monster Squad, I can think of the beginning is intense.
When the monsters are coming?
No, the beginning is them trying to vanquish Dracula. And there's some people get effed up and sucked into a portal. And this little girl screaming. It's an intense. Watch the first few minutes.
By myself? Okay, I'll check it.
Monster Squad has some things that have not aged well.
Oh, for sure.
First of all, there's some language in it that is like, oh, you're not allowed to say that anymore. There's a lot of gay slurs in that movie that do not hold up well in a way that's pretty cringy. Also, the sexual coercion, the blackmail.
Yep. I remember that. And I was like, I can fast forward through that or talk to him through that. And he won't pay attention. I don't think that'll be on his radar.
But he'll like the monsters. Creatures.
Oh, for sure.
Monkey.
I told him about the Wolfman blowing up and then coming back together. I think he'll like that.
That's cool.
I told him that Frankenstein turns good.
That's really cool.
We'll see. He's very excited.
That's a movie that I really wish we had a version. Like, I want somebody to remake it, but I don't want them to remake it like they're going to remake it. I want them to remake it just like this, but fix the stuff that just makes it harder to explain to a child.
Hmm.
Mommy, why did they take pictures of her in her underwear?
Like, the best is, like, when they made that movie, they knew 7-year-old me and you were going to watch that. And they were like, no problem. You know? They were like, these guys are going to love this.
Yeah, I didn't remember that movie having any problems in it. And now it's like, only as an adult, you're like, all right. Well,
it's like they're breaking the dick off the statue in the Goonies. You're like, that was my mom's favorite part.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't need that in the movie. I mean, I guess it's a movie about a bunch of boys primarily on an adventure. So like breaking the dick off a statue. Yeah,
I guess this was for?
It's one of those things I said to Amanda the other day. I fucking love movies. Like, watching movies is a really important, I don't want to go crazy melodramatic and say holy, but like, it is something I enjoy in and out. And it matters. It is something, there's something magical to me about a movie and watching a movie, not just in the theater, but anytime. And I really feel like we grew up in a really good era for movies. And maybe everybody who loves movies feels that way because the movies influence them. Well, but I mean,
think of this. Exactly. Think of this. The movies that were coming out when we were young, late 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s, were bangers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There were really good movies coming out. The movies that we get to discover were from the 80s and the late 70s.
Sure. Yeah.
We get to discover the golden age of movies just after they happen. Our parents got to see them and they're like, get ready, kid. We are now the next generation of kids. You go back and you run the risk of being like, I'm going to show you this baller movie, kid. Here's Star Wars. And they're like, these graphics suck. Right? Like, we live in an era where what kids are like, wait till you see how awesome this movie from the 80s is. And they're like, John Carpenter's Thing, this rubber looks like shit.
Yeah.
You don't even see the monster that much. He looks like a crappy hand puppet. And you're like, you know, this is the same person who's like, Yoda is a sock. And you're like, what? He's like, he's just a sock puppet. Like, yo, there's no animation. He's not CGI. He looks terrible. And you're like,
their first exposure, the age of first exposure is very important for that sort of attitude or not that attitude.
Yeah.
But I also think if the movie, like you said, is a banger, like Empire Strikes Back, if they think Yoda looks fake, they're still listening to what he says. Because some of the shit Yoda says in that movie, I think about no joke every single goddamn day. And like Jurassic Park. Yeah. Did I tell you the story about Kent and that?
Yeah.
In the bathroom?
I choose goat.
My kid's so fucking cool. He's an asshole.
So funny, man.
Yeah. Well, we are so lucky. I think I really do think we're lucky to live in a time and a place where we get two Godzilla movies in the same year and on absolute opposite ends of the spectrum. One is like clutching my pearls. This movie is like fantastic. And how great to finally see a grown up, a big boy Godzilla movie. And then this big, loud, stupid idiot thing crashing around in the basement. Great. What a good time. I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard. My cheeks were sore. You know, it's like, that's
high fives,
it, man. Like,
all over the place.
Yeah, I can't. So many high fives. Can't ask for anything.
So my buddy Tommy, who I went to see it with, I think he fell asleep partway. He's like, I didn't fall asleep that long. I was like, yeah, you did. And I was like, I bet you did. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I was like, when you woke up, did you know where that baby monkey came from? And he's like, No, where did it come from? I was like, he had a baby. He had a baby. He got married.
King Kong Live style.
She died during childbirth. He had a baby. He's like, no, he didn't. I didn't fall asleep that long. Like, I get it, man.
There was like a scene of her on the table and King Kong was holding her hand and breathing with her.
Oh my God. King Kong Lives. That movie's anyway.
I love both of those movies. The 76 King Kong and King Kong Lives. I just got King Kong Lives on Blu-ray.
Really?
Umbrella release. Trying to get the collector's edition instead of the regular old idiot edition. But I love that movie. He eats the trucker and then pulls out the little trucker hat. That's like a core memory. I remember renting that shit and seeing that and thinking it was so funny. He pulled that thing out of his teeth. I'll never forget that. I'll forget my kids' names before I forget that green hat coming out of his mouth. Now some internet troll is writing me, it was a yellowish green hat.
I'll be buying this for sure. I mean, this was great.
I said, I will buy the biggest, loudest, dumbest edition they release.
Problem is, this is the type of movie that's not being put out on Blu-ray or DVD anymore. You know, Best Buy stopped selling big, loud, stupid Blu-rays.
Target will. They'll have an exclusive. It'll come with like a little stupid action figure that doesn't even look like Kong.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the action figures are terrible. Friend of the show, Blainer Things from NECA. He was like, he showed a picture of the poster. He's like, I bet the quality of the toys is a direct correlation to the quality of the movie. And I was like, because they're good, because they're bad, sarcasm, or the toys are so bad that the movie sucks too. And he was like, did you see the Playmates figures? And I was like, no, should I? He sent me a video. And it's the worst painted, basic ass bullshit you've ever seen. And I was
they
like,
all look like knockoffs, right? They all look like they're bootlegs.
They look like bootlegs. And it's like, well, Playmate's going to Playmate. Although I was like, look, if you gave me those toys in a sandbox, I'd have just as much fun as I did at this movie, smashing the shit out of them.
Yeah, I wanted one. I wanted a Scar King one for the classroom, but I haven't found it yet. I'll wait and see who comes up with a better one. There's nothing too cool yet, but.
No, there's nothing too good. Wait till like the Bandai Arts came out.
Yeah, that's the one. And Scar King is the one for me. I would get a Kong glove to fight him, but I need the Scar King first.
Yeah, but yeah, we did have fun watching it. Tommy agreed. He's like, it was fun. Wasn't good, but it was fun. So he gets to pick the next movie that we go see. We're out here for a bit. So we're going to go watch a lot of movies.
Good luck with that.
I don't know. I might go watch Civil War. I don't know. We'll see.
I've only seen a couple quick clips of that. It looks like what I want it. If it's what I want it to be, it looks awesome, but I don't know. I mean, I heard good things about it, but
we'll see. I want to see that. I want to see Late Night with the Devil. I got a whole list of things. Omen. I want to see First Omen. I like the Omen movies. A lot of
I don't care about that.
Yeah. And I keep watching Godzilla movies, man.
Oh, hell yeah. I might go put one on right now.
Ooh, I might go put it's 1:19. Holy fuck. I got to be up and go to work tomorrow. Rumi, let's blast this thing off. But before we do, guys, let us know what your favorite part of this stupid fucking
this big,
was.
Loud moron of a movie is. That's the best way to describe this movie. How was that movie? It was a moron.
It was a moron. Big. I am no smarter from watching it. But man, I had a great time.
Yeah, I'm stupider. I lost brain cells, but I had a good night. It was fun.
So good. Let us know what you thought about it. Let us know what movies you're excited to see. What movies should we see next? Let us know. Facebook, Instagram, and X at LaunchpadPod, our website, launchpadpod.com. Check me out every Saturday, the half hour of horror with Aaron McClain. Even though it's an hour long, we like to give you a little more. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Launchpad Podcast. Rumi, one thing to do left. Let's blast this thing off.
Before we blast it off, put your glove on. Oh, wait, why? Just drop it from the sky. Inject me with my antibiotics.
We're the Rocketeers. We are out.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.